If you will turn to Proverbs 31, we will go to the 10th verse and start from there. And we'll read to the end of the chapter. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hand to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. In these verses, we find that there's 40 qualifications. 40 is the number of perfect testing. This virtuous woman is a beautiful portrait of the bride of Christ. These are the qualities he wants to develop in our lives to be this virtuous woman. These verses can apply both naturally as well as spiritually. The Lord has taken me to study this out spiritually, and he showed me just this morning why that is. As you allow him to make you this virtuous woman, you will be the husband, the wife for your husband, or whomever is in your life. As these things that he works in you, they will work out, and everything else will take care of it. And that's just how the Lord is. Everything else will take care of itself once you've given your life to him and yield to him. If we read in Song of Solomon, or in Proverbs 29, that many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excelleth them all. She is the fairest among women. In 2 Corinthians 11, we read, "For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ." 1 Corinthians 9 says, "Now, know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." In Revelation 17:14, "For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." And then we know this verse of Revelation 19:7, So let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. We also see in Genesis 24 about Rebekah. I'm sure that many daughters came to that well. I'm sure that there were many that drew the water, but there was only one that was willing, one that was chosen, one that said, I will go. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Virtuous, I looked it up in Strong's in Greek, it means a force, an army, wealth, virtue, valor, strength, soldiers, great forces, goods, might, power, riches, train, and valiant. This woman is a full-grown, mature woman. She is a result of yielding to the Holy Spirit and allowing him working in and through her. The daughters and virgins are without number, but she is but one that heedeth his call through the Holy Spirit. He says to her, Rise up, my love, my fair one. Come away with me, my love. And she says, Yes. Yes to her beloved's proposal. Who can find a virtuous woman? He can. Jesus has. He can. In Psalms 45:10-11, this woman listens to him say, Hearken, my love, listen, incline thy ear. Her ear is tuned to his voice, even to the loving whispers that he whispers into her ears in the inner chamber. She allows him, his love, to be the driving force in her heart, in her life, which allows him to make her this virtuous woman. She realizes his love for her is a love that she's never known. He's kissed her with the kisses of his mouth. She found that his love is better than anything, anyone. Yes, this love that will not let her go. This love that is unconditional, constant, it's intense. It's a divine love that will develop her to be this woman. If she would just believe and submit, if she will allow, if she will follow after and apprehend that which also she is apprehended by him, Christ Jesus. He has strengthened her with all power and might, and she learns his strength is made perfect in her weakness, that his very power rests upon her. He encouraged and exhorted her time and again, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. As one of the meanings of the virtuous woman is an army, or one of the meanings of virtuous is an army, she hears him say in Song of Solomon 6:4, Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah. Tirzah means delight and pleasant. That is, she is a delight to him. She is pleasant to him. Comely as Jerusalem, that's grace. The grace of God enables her. Terrible as an army with banners. And then Song of Solomon 6:10 says, Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? In 2 Timothy, we read in chapter 2, 3 and 4, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. She stands, yes, she stands with the full armor of God. And she fights that good fight of faith. She lays hold of what he has offered her. She proclaims in Psalms 18:32-39, if we'll just turn to that. That's Psalms 18:32 It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holded me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Let's see, I wanted to go to all the way to 39. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose against me. He has enabled her to endure hardness as a soldier. Praise the Lord. She has been given many trials. There's been many battles, many hot furnaces, afflictions, persecutions, and these have worked patience in her life, experience in her life, hope in her life, divine love that is shed abroad in her heart by the Holy Ghost. It is His abundant grace that enables her to be this virtuous woman. He exhorts, He encourages, He says, be strong in my grace. My grace that is abundant will enable you to be this virtuous woman. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. It is this grace that she is able to count it all joy for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. She has said many times in prayer, I want to know you, Lord. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know you and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. He says, draw close. And He holds her up. She learns Him through these trials and afflictions and battles by requesting, I want to know you. And that's how we know Him. Realizing all along, it's not by my might, it's not by our power, it's by His Spirit, saith the Lord. He is her very present help in time of need. In Psalm 63:7, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. She has many, many times come to the throne of grace with big tears, crying out to the Lord. There His hand gave her the grace and the mercy and the help in time of need. She believes Him, His word. If I suffer with Him, I'll reign with Him. And in this suffering, she glories and rejoices in all the tribulations. She counts them as light afflictions. In 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 7, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Can you see the contrast there? She counts it a light affliction compared to the eternal weight of glory that He's offering her. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with that glory which shall be revealed in us. She glories in the tribulation. She says, oh yes, He's shown Himself strong on my behalf. The battle is won, and He giveth her the victory again and again and again. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's caused her to triumph in 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Romans 8:31. Well, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? She shouts, yes, in all these trials, in all things, I'm made more than a conqueror. Yes, more than a conqueror through him that loved me. He has made her aware time and time again, it's me, Christ in her, the hope of glory. She's an earthen vessel filled with a priceless treasure without measure, a vessel filled with him and him alone, a vessel filled with all the fullness of God. She boldly states, it's no longer I that lives, it's Christ that liveth in me. You see, it's his life, it's his nature, it's his very character that's in her. Yes, he has made her to be this virtuous woman, readying her to be the bride of Christ. The virtuous woman says, he's even supplied the faith for me to believe. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He is the author and the finisher of her faith, and has always supplied exceedingly, abundantly, above all that she has asked for or needed. And that faith has never been of her anyway. It hasn't. She always boasts only and always in him. She magnifies the Lord and him alone, not self. She magnifies him in her life. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1:31, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. All glory goes to him. She shouts this on high. It's because of him and his grace. She's his masterpiece, his workmanship. He is the potter. She is the clay. And with that, she believes with confidence. The good work he began, he will finish it. This is the virtuous woman. This is his beloved, his undefiled, his dove, his love. This is the bride of Christ, the Lamb's wife. Are we willing? Will we believe? Will we submit? Many times we can read those scriptures and we can hear the words about the bride of Christ. But do you believe it for yourself? Will we allow him to make us this woman? He's called you. There's no mistake that you're here. He's brought this message toward you, for you, even before the foundation of the world. He has called us to this high calling, this special place, and has made every provision, supplying all the grace needed for us to attain to the high calling of God. In 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto this eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Praise the Lord for the encouraging words that he gives us. We see that in this verse of Proverbs that her price is far above rubies. Yes, far, far above rubies. She's the pearl of great price, seated in the heavenlies with him. In Matthew 13:46, let's turn to that. Let's go ahead and start with verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Notice, pearls, plural, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. This virtuous woman is one that far exceeds and is valued far above others. The Lord reminded me of the song about the goodly pearl. The song says, I did not count the awful cost of waves and billows, tempest tossed. My gaze was on the pearl alone, which I desire to make my own. I love the pearl of matchless worth that brought me all the way to earth. I chose to leave the courts above. My heart was fixed upon my love. He's invested his all in her, his very life. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, you're not your own. You're bought with a price, and his precious life and blood bought you. He's chosen her before the foundation of the world, that she should be holy and without blame before him in love. For it's him that has enlightened her eyes to know the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance that is in her, and that she is blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. This virtuous woman yields to his call and desires to be a joint heir with him. She knows there'll be suffering, but it's suffering together with him. What love, what joy, what ecstasy that fills her heart. He's clothed her with his righteousness, not her own righteousness, for he has shown her many times that her righteousness is as filthy rags in his sight. No good in her apart from him and him alone. She says, I am what I am by the grace of God. He's given her raiment to put on, golden earrings, golden bracelets, a crown of gold. He exhorts her, hold that fast which thou hast, and let no man take thy crown. He's clothed her with garments of royalty. In Psalms 45:13-14, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. Yes, the needlework. It isn't pleasant to have that needle weaving in and out of us. It's not pleasant for the virtuous woman to have the gold being worked out of her, in her. A beaten work of gold tried in the fire. Yes, many are the trials and the afflictions of the woman, but he's made known to her that he's perfecting that which concerns her. In 1 Peter 1:7-8, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with unspeakable joy and full of glory. She has felt his loving arms embrace her, holding her so close to his bosom, even though at times she couldn't see him. He has loved her. He has whispered to her, I'm here. His love for her has caused her to endure fires, the fiery trials which produce this wrought gold that produces his cherubim. Job 23:10 says, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he's tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job went through a lot, But he knew this, and he was willing to go through it. Oh yes, it has been him which worketh in her the willingness to be tried in this way. For it's him which worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And isn't it he that stands hand in hand with us in the fire? You think of those three Hebrew children. It was him standing with them. And he will stand with us in the fiery trials. He has promised, I will never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. Lo, I'm with you always. He also is the refiner, and she's willing to be refined. To allow the process which causes the dross in her life to come up. She doesn't draw back, even though that dross, it can be a hard thing to look at. But it needs to be. It must be. His love is what overpowers her and continues to allow him to do the work, to let him change her from glory to glory, even to the very likeness of him. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, let's go ahead and turn to that. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. He's changing us from glory to glory. Oh, if we could only see. But will we just believe and know what he's doing? She doesn't draw back, ever. Far above what we can see or even imagine, he is doing a work, a wonderful, a magnificent work in her. In 1 John 3:2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In 1 Corinthians 2:9-10, But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to make real what he is doing and what he's offering you. Allow him to. He will give you the strength and the grace to go through it all. What a wonderful, amazing love and grace he has revealed that causes her to press on, that causes her heart to pant after him, to be fixed on her beloved. This is the virtuous woman. He has spoken to her that in the ages to come, he will show forth the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness to her, that will show forth before all what he has worked in her life. Ages, it says, in ages. I mean, I can't fathom that. But in ages and ages and ages to come, he's going to show and put on display the marvelous grace that was wrought in this woman, his bride. In Revelation 21:9, it says, Come hither, I'll show thee the Lamb's wife. Even before the foundation of the world, his love, an intense desire was for her and will be throughout the ages to come. In Hebrews 12:2, For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. You see, she is his joy that was set before him. Yes, all will see what he's done, for she will be like him, even to the very likeness of him. What glory he has called us to. What he has called you and I to, can we turn away? Can we say, no, Lord, that's enough? No, he reveals. It's a spirit of revelation that he'll give you to see. This is what I have for you. This is what I'm working in you. How can we neglect so great a proposal from Jesus Christ? He's offered his hand in marriage to you. Will we allow him? By his grace, we say yes. Will we grow up in him in all things? Will we allow him to develop these qualities, these traits in us? By God's grace, yes. It's all by his grace. It's a choice that he's given to each one of us. He's given us a choice. All we have to do is say yes, and he does the rest. We take in his word. His word works effectually in us that believe. It will mature. It will develop this woman in us. We go to verse 11 of Proverbs. By the way, we will not get through this whole chapter. There's just too much. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. This is his divine love and devotion that he has worked in her. This in turn satisfies him to the fullness. He sees she gives him the glory always. Her boast is in him always. Her heart is filled with his love, with worship, with appreciation, and thankfulness. His great grace that is bestowed upon her. For he has saw and searched her heart. He saw her heart in ages past. The intents, the desire. There is nothing that is hidden from his eye. He sees the heart. Just as he saw David's heart and said, he's a man after my own heart. So it is that he sees her heart. Her cry is in Psalms 139. Verse 23 and 24, search me, O God, know my heart, and try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. She is the joy that's set before him, because she wants him to look into her heart. She wants him to do the work. Song of Solomon 7:6, how fair, how pleasant art thou, he says, O love for delights. Yes, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Jesus is her husband. He can trust his work in her, for he has worked in her, remember, to will and to do of his good pleasure. He sees and knows that she magnifies him in the gifts he's given her. Gifts that glorify him. He trusts her in trials and responsibility because she confides in him, knowing that she looks only to him and trusts his word and says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. These are the works that he has done. These are the works that he is foreordained that she should walk in them. He says, because thou hast been faithful in a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. In Ephesians 2:10, we see that we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. She is submissive to him, to his will, to all he has given her. He says, Thou art fair, my love, and there is no spot in thee. She's clothed in his righteousness. This is how he sees her. She believes it. She believes when he said, You've ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. She satisfies him to the utmost in every way. Song of Solomon 4, verses 9 and 10. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, the smell of thine ointments, than all the spices. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. And Mary sat at his feet. She gave him all that she had. Remember when she broke that alabaster box and poured that ointment on him. How satisfied was he? That fragrance filled the air. He has no need of spoil. She's his delight. He has it all. In Proverbs 12:4 it says, A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. She brings him glory and honor. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Again, I say for the joy that was set before him. He wants nothing else but her. His desire is for her and her alone. They both are filled with this love, his divine love. They are one, for two shall be made one. In John 17:22-23, And the glory, this is Jesus, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. He has given this to us, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. It says in Proverbs 31:12, She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She does him good by doing his will, which satisfies him. She's a testimony to others by walking in all his ways, by being led of the Holy Spirit. Those that walk and are led of the Spirit are the sons of God, sons being mature sons of God. I am encouraged just for the book of Job. Job 1:8, when the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and eschews evil? She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. This woman shuns evil. She departs from it and she does good. The virtuous woman magnifies his life in her. She's grown up in him in all things, therefore desires to do him good, not evil, all the days of her life. For her to live is to satisfy him. It's Christ in her. Ruth 3:11. Boaz says of Ruth, And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. You see, she's a testimony, an epistle known and read of all. Her light actually his light in her, shines forth, and others see it. We are lights in this dark and perverse world. So let your light shine unto others. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Psalms 133 is such a sweet psalm. Behold, how good and how pleasant, how sweet it is for the brethren to dwell, which means to settle down in marriage, together in unity. She doesn't want any discord in the body. She desires unity of the Spirit. She desires his will in all things, and she does him good. Again, I say, remember when Mary poured that ointment. Jesus said, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she has wrought a good work upon me." Song of Solomon 4:10. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. Again, how much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all the spices. It's his abundant grace, and only his grace, that enables her to do good to him all the days of her life. She is fruitful in every good work that he's ordered for her. She's a willing vessel, a vessel that adds to the usefulness of her husband. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, "A vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." She's a living sacrifice to him. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God. We know that Jesus, he did the will of his Father. He said in John 5, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me." John 8:50 says, "I seek not my glory." In Psalms 40:7-8, he said, "Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it's written, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart, and this same will abides in the virtuous woman." She desires not her own will, but his will. Yes, he rejoices over her. She also does him good by bearing fruit, much fruit for his pleasure, as she abides in him. In John 15, that chapter, it says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." She allows him. That causes her. Allows him to work in her. That causes her to bear 60, 100-fold fruit. She abides in him. The Holy Spirit has produced in her the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In Philippians 1:11, it says, "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God." These fruits aren't to show others, but they're to be to the praise and the glory of God. Thereby, she's a testimony. In Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What a pleasant, sweet-smelling, fragrant garden that he has produced in her. They both walk in that garden hand in hand. In Song of Solomon 4:12, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed, a garden of beauty filled with a sweet aroma, a spring of affection and praise flowing to him. This is the virtuous woman. Song of Solomon 4:16 says, awake, O north wind, come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. These winds can be harsh. These winds, the north wind, the south wind, can be very harsh. But she allows those winds to blow upon her garden, her life, and the fragrance comes up to him. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. This only is done by yielding to him and letting him develop and mature his life in us. I'll close with these last verses. In 1 Thessalonians 2:11 through 12, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who has called you into his kingdom and glory. And in Hebrews 13:20-21, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. This is the virtuous woman.